the potential cuts to Medicaid would be devastating to children across the country.
And is there any recourse that these agencies have? I mean, are these cuts inevitable and going into effect?
So it depends on which one. The cuts to Head Start and to staffing and potentially to its funding seem imminent, and Head Start programs are already closing in several parts of the country. That's probably one of the more imminent ones. The cuts at DOJ for local law enforcement seem like they may happen, but there's a chance that some of that funding gets reinstated. The department said that they're still considering some of the grants. So there's a spectrum. Obviously, we know that with Medicaid, that's still up in the air, but it looks like the Republicans in Congress are going to be cutting Medicaid.
And you got a response from Robert Kennedy's office, of course, in charge of Health in America, saying they're going to put money into establishing MAHA, right, the Administration for Healthy America.
Right. They're going to consolidate all these children's programs at the Administration for Children and Families that had run child care and Head Start and the child support system. It's another big one that the federal government does. It makes sure that child support payments get to families. All of those are going to be reduced and consolidated into this other area.
Well, Eli Hager, we're going to have to leave it to folks reading your piece. Eli Hager is a ProPublica reporter. We'll link to his new piece, The Trump Administration's War on Children. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh for another edition of Democracy Now!
Hi, this is Ray Lynn, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Barbara Bernstein's film, Chasing Chimeras, The Lure of Deceptive Climate Solutions, a film about the effects of industry-led climate solutions and how the fossil fuel industry has influenced regulatory agencies and laws. Chasing Chimeras premieres at Cinema 21 on April 27th at 4 p.m. More info at chasingchimeras.org.
Broadcasting live from the George Page Master Blaster Memorial Air Room, right? This is Keeping It Real, and I'm your host, I need more coffee, and I could not find my radio lipstick. Let's start again. Broadcasting live from the George Page Master Blaster Memorial Air Room. This is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. And we are broadcasting live today, which is pretty exciting. Our guests are station manager Nathan Vandiver and KABU board president Mike Frost. The media world is shifting, and KABU is doubling down on our role as an independent radio station, and we're talking about what that means. Thanks for being here. Hey, you guys, how's it going?
Great. Lisa. Yeah, going great.
We're all a little bit stunned. We're just a little bit stunned. Thanks for being here. And, you know, we don't have to have such a cold open. This is community radio, and it's actual and it's real, and it's not Entercom or iHeartRadio. There's a real person here. And the reason that we're here doing this show live and doing this very special show is that really the world is changing. The media is shifting. There's a hostile government takeover. You've heard it. And we have actually more power to affect change than many other media outlets do. We're the mighty, mighty KABU. And so I want to bring the microphones back to Nathan and Mike and start off. I'm going to start off with Nathan. What brought you to KABU? Like, why did you get involved? And I know it's your job and you applied for the job, but you didn't have to. You could have gone to work at some firm or something like that. So what made you want to work at community radio again?
Oh, yeah. I my family and I moved here coming up pretty closely on 3 years. So we're new to Portland and we're loving Portland. Portland's been a wonderful place to live in. I saw, you know, this position opened up, but I worked in public media before I moved here. And so this is related to the work that I've done throughout my working career. And I love public media and, you know, just non-commercial broadcasting. It's something that I've always turned to when I'm looking for media. You know, on radio, the fewer commercials or no commercials is you know, one easy way to spot it. But also the subject matter is a bit more connected to the ground, a little bit more connected to the people that are creating it and the communities that those stations are serving. And so that's one of the reasons I love community media. I love public media, and why I gravitated toward KABU.
There's an instant karma aspect to it. If we don't do our job, if we don't put out good radio, people are going to use the law of 2 feet, and they're not going to support us, actually. And that's one of the things that I think is most compelling about grassroots radio, is that it is directly, it comes from the people. How about you, Mike? What do you do, and how did you wind up at KABU?
Well, I came to KABU about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I'm not sure exactly, but joined the board, and I did that because a friend of mine who has been a longtime volunteer at KABU asked me to come and be a part of this. And his name's Phil Garfinkel. He runs the Grateful Dead and Friends show, and he's a great guy. Anyway, so as I started to work with the board, I just realized that, you know, this would be a great avenue for me to give back to the community. That's why I'm here.
I want to stay on this a second. The purpose of this show, again, keeping it real, we only bring on community changers, people who are organizing in their communities, community activists who have a place for you guys, you listeners, to participate. That's the only reason we do this show. And I want to bring it back to you a second, Mike. Like, what is it that community radio gives back?
Well, I think that community radio, especially KABU, is a place for people who are underrepresented or oppressed to amplify their voices, you know, you know, of course, I also love the eclectic music that is played on KABU, but the information that's presented here is unique. You can't get this information from any other source, and it's very important for people to have this access to this information.
What do you think, Nathan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, KABU is it is crucially important right now, and it does come back to the grassroots foundation of KABU, I believe, and just we're so connected to folks that are creating the media that are involved in their communities. It's in many ways, it's the best information about what's going on in our community in Portland, in Oregon, and, you know, in the nation, you know, because we're talking about things that affect us and folks who, you know, come here to talk on our shows or, you know, talking about things that affect them. And so it's firsthand experience.
Right, it is. I want to answer that question, too. I want to answer my own question here. I've been at KBOO since 1990. And a whole, like, my adult life has been a trajectory with this radio station, strangely. And the thing that strikes me the most about it is that it's a do-it-yourself revolution. Like, there have been times when we've paid, like, a consultant to come in and teach people how to ask for money better on the air and stuff like that. You know, we haven't done that in a few minutes. But really, I think the point of it is that KBOO, it is the grassrootiest. It's the closest to the ground. It is an on-ramp for everyday people to get your hands on, in the nicest possible way, a media outlet of your own. And KBOO, like I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. We've been handing the microphone to the people since 1968. And there's not, you can't do that at Oregon Public Broadcasting. I love you, OPB. You can't do that anywhere else. And actually, you could go over to the community television station, right? And you could participate there. And plenty of people participate in both. But when it comes to especially the challenges that our society is facing right now, what a euphemism that was. It's super important that anyone listening right now, even if you're listening to this in podcast format, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's a place for you in community radio, whether you're a listener or a supporter, or whether you come over and learn how to do radio skills. And so many people have come here and learned how to do radio skills. It blows my mind. And now I have this fancy national job where I interact with some of the people who literally learned all of their radio skills, not in a master's degree at the University of Oregon or University of Columbia, Missouri Journalism Department. The people who come here and they learn how to do things, just straight up. And media is one of the most powerful tools that we have in our society. And it strikes me, too, that there's a whole generation of people that are media makers now who started out in grassroots community media and worked their way up. And so there's a place in media where people work their way up. And then there's the education system, the university system. I love you, universities, don't get me wrong, that make people struggle and earn a master's degree or earn a PhD. But that doesn't really give them skills, you understand? And working at the community media, you can't be here without acquiring connections, without learning your place, each of us our place in the community. And that's really powerful. What were you gonna say?
Well, some of what you were talking about has to do, you know, one of the things I value about KBOO, but also one of the things that, you know, KBOO just has to do to be the community-based station that it is, and that's training. You know, you're talking about, like, with a lot of media, there's the aspect of gatekeeping about, you know, access to producing media. There's some barriers to entry, you know, and there are fewer of those, I feel, at KBOO. But, you know, one of those, like, barriers to entry or one of those, you know, gates that are kept is the ability to produce it and how to work the technology and, you know, how to engage with the medium. You know, some structural things that anybody has to deal with, no matter who's trying to produce radio. And one of the great things about KBOO is all the training that we have. It's the training program. You know, if you want to produce media, you can come in and you can speak with our volunteer coordinator, who will give you a tour of the station and talk to you about what your interests might be. And
he's
what
a wonderful person. Yeah. He's a wonderful guy, by the way.
Yeah, Nate Kapp, or Nathaniel Kapp. And yeah, he at volunteer@kboo.org. And he can set you on the right track. And then you can take the FCC training class. And then we have production classes. We have news writing classes if you want to go that way. There's board operation classes. There's all sorts of classes that will get you set up to produce radio and be part of this community of folks who are helping share their experience with the rest of the community.
I want to take a minute and flesh out that list of classes, because the purpose of this show here today is that for anyone who listens to it, we want to inspire you to participate, to engage in your community whatever community it may be, but we're also trying to onboard more people to be KBOO volunteers. We need producers. We need board ops. And it's a joy. I have to say that it's a joy. And you know what? When you come in and you learn how to operate the board, I'm doing that right now. You have to leave your troubles outside because you just don't have time to sit here and think, oh my God, the president's destroying society. It wasn't so great in the first place, but my God, you don't have time for that. It's all about the buttons. It's all about the technology. And I'm an old lady, y'all. Plenty of people from all kinds of backgrounds, loads of boomers that don't even, you know, are not so great with their iPhones. And there's also teenagers. All kinds of people come over here and make their dreams real. And in a minute, I do want to ask Nathan about the Youth Collective because they were just here last night. But before we do that, I want to go through the whole list, if we can think of the list of trainings, because we just did, there's, of course, board operating, which is, that's a job skill, you guys, operating the radio board. There's also producing news. I think there's classes in how to produce a music show as well. Do we have classes in live music production at this time?
I don't think that we have an active one that's ongoing, but we're working toward it. And there are some folks who are doing some training and some development on that.
Live music production means that you know how to set it up here in the station so that somebody can come in here with their jug band and their bulldog and they can do a live set. Right. And you can run the board so that they do that. And that's another job skill, you know, learning how to be a DJ. There's plenty of people that started out doing music here at KBOO, and now they are professional DJs. Not that getting a job is the reason why you should be a volunteer here. But in the news department, there's news writing, again, news production, audio editing. Right. Which is fascinating. It's kind of a rabbit hole. But there's also, I want to say, producing. Producer of something is sort of like, if you remember that Disney cartoon and Mickey Mouse is dressed up like a wizard and he's got the magic wand, and we don't have to talk about what movie that's from, but he waves it around and all the stuff comes together. And that's what the producer does. We don't give you a magic wand. But so there's news production. There's also what's called live remote production. We always need people to help when we set up the electronical equipment in some place that's not inside the building. It might be the blues festival. One time I went to my favorite chicken wing restaurant on a Saturday, and I go in the front door and there was Shocks of Sheba playing their music live because they were debuting the beer that this place actually created a beer, and they named it after Shocks of Sheba, and they still sell it today. And that would be a live remote, like people learning how to be here in the studio or in the equipment out in the community. It's very immediate. And somebody out there, somebody who's listening right now knows that they want to do that. And there's something else I'm missing, though. We have a lot of trainings, and you would go to our website, kboo.org, to find out more about them. But I want to...
kboo.fm/training.
Okay, kboo.fm. You'll figure it out. And if you just tuned in, this is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. We are broadcasting live today. Our guests are KBOO Station Manager Nathan Vandiver and KBOO Board President Mike Frost. The media world is shifting, and KBOO is doubling down on our role as an independent radio station. And we're talking about what that means. I want to shift over to the Youth Collective. Like, so I do my show on Thursday mornings. I've been doing it remotely now for several months. But when I come in to do it live, it's the morning after the Youth Collective, right? Talk about the Youth Collective, Nathan. What do they do?
Oh, yeah. It's a group of youth who are learning and...
Teenagers and preteens.
Yeah, and practicing making radio. There's two shows that they produce. The names of them are escaping me at the moment. That's, but they sometimes host live. They record, and they've also joined us at some live remotes to host for a block of hours or for the day. So there's... In the, you know, there's a, you know, some youth come and go, some are here, you know, year after year.
There's a lot of homeschooled kids that come to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that rings true.
But how much does it cost to participate?
Nothing.
Right. It's free. What are you doing right now? It's free. Bring the kids.
Yeah.
But the Youth Collective, too, the philosophy of the Youth Collective is that the adults don't tell them what to do. They come up with a theme, they eat some very strange snacks, and then they spend a month they meet weekly and they spend a month creating a recording that is aired on their shows, right? So they have mentorship, but nobody tells them what to do. And so that's why those shows can be kind of weird. I was just saying it, like if you're, you know, if you're 62, you're not going to relate to what the 11-year-olds want to listen to. But it's an incredible opportunity for kids, especially curious kids, bright kids, and kids who are kind of weird. Like there's folks come in here, like I guess I have to say this outright. There's kind of a lot of people in community radio that don't wear a suit all the time, and they don't sit down quietly in a chair. You know, we are the creative people, right? And at the same time, there's a place for people that are quiet and don't want to be on the mic too. There's così fanno tutti. There's something for everyone. Now I want to shift gears a little bit though, and go to the board. Let's go to the board. Boards of directors can be a pain. Sometimes you're like, no, nonprofit board, no, Edvard Munch, oh, the scream. But the KABU board has actually gone through some fascinating evolutions. And I think the KABU board right now is in a really good and productive place. Not that it never, ever was, whatever. But what do you do on the board, Mike? Who's on it and what do you guys do?
Okay, well, the board is the primary purpose of the board is governance and making sure that our finances are in good shape. You know, we're overseers of the financial condition of KABU. And then we also have one employee, and that's Nathan, who's sitting next to me here.
Poor guy. Just kidding. I didn't say that.
The rest of the employees at KABU are part of a union, and Nathan is their manager. So we can't really tell anybody what to do other than Nathan, and we can only make suggestions because he has his own mind.
It's more like a bicameral legislature. It's more like a bicameral legislature. Yeah, it's less like a, you're the boss, you're the big daddy. No, we don't do that around
here. We don't do that, no. And so we meet once a month and we talk about what's happening at the station. Our primary thing is to make sure that the budget is going to work. And that's been a real challenge recently, as some know.
Never has not been.
Right. As a nonprofit, that's always a thing, and you know, it can be an existential threat, and it can be very nerve-wracking for us to deal with. But that's what we do. And
okay, I want to dig into the board for a second because we always need more board members, right? Because I think are there 12 seats on the board?
That's correct.
12 seats. That's kind of a big crowd. And COVID, man, COVID was like a bowling for pigeons moment all through the nonprofit sector. Like, you know, just a force came through people's nonprofits and everybody fell down and we couldn't control it. We didn't even always know what was going on. And so a lot of nonprofits were very hollowed out by the pandemic and we're still dealing with that. And KABU pivoted so many times and we're still here, which is brilliant. But so I think that's also part of the reason why this KABU board, it's really, I feel like it's kind of muscular. Like they're here, they want to do something, they're focused. So what else do people need to know? Like what kind of person would be good to as a board member? Because you're trying to get more board members right now.
Right.
Some of your meetings are live in the building and some are remote, or are they hybrid?
It's typically a hybrid meeting. We encourage people to come in, but you don't have to. You can participate over your computer or your phone.
That means you don't have to have a computer. You don't have to be computer savvy to participate in the board.
Correct.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So who should be here?
Well, we need people who are passionate about community radio, first of all. But we also are looking for folks that have experience in finance and, you know, in programming. We encourage everyone on the board, you have to at least be on one committee. We encourage people to be on multiple committees. So we have these committees that meet typically monthly. There's multiple different things that we meet about. There's an engineering committee, there's a programming committee that decides, you know, what programs are going to be on the radio. And then there's, I can't think of them all right now, but
I'm going to say there's development.
Right. Yeah.
And development is one of those committees that, well, what do they do? I mean, development is a big pizza, actually.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, they oversee and provide input to fundraising and fundraising plans and practices. And they also help with fundraising and they help with outreach and yeah.
Outreach, so that means fundraising, but also bringing in more members. It's
yes.
Like both of those. They're kind of the same thing, but they're kind of not the same thing. Like if you become a KABU volunteer, you can quantify the hours that you spend here and using the software that we have, which is actually pretty easy to use. And you are actually, you, you are a supporter. It's like being a financial supporter because your labor is worth money. And so there's development engineering committee. Still got that guy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those guys do weird stuff, man.
It was great. Last month we had, I think, the first training we've had since pre-pandemic with the engineering committee. And we did a turntable maintenance class. Big thanks to Mike Johnson, who's a past KBOO employee. He's a longtime KBOO contractor and a longtime KBOO programmer and volunteer. And so, so that was great. And I learned stuff about turntables that I did not know.
So as we were just talking about the different kinds of trainings, there's plenty of technical trainings like soldering the wires back into the headphones. Not that that's a training itself, but there's plenty of stuff to do in the engineering department that is extremely hands-on. And it's nerdly. I'm saying it's nerds. If you're a nerd, come on out for that. Mike Johnson, too. Like, I think that he's one of these people who's, there's some people in our society that are like Johnny and Janie Appleseeds of new radio stations. Like, there's some people who all they do is help radio stations make their equipment work and help start new radio stations. And that's something that you need to think about, too. Actually, I just met the radio station in Modesto, California, and there's one guy that runs it. And there's a handful of people who have to climb up this tower in a cow pasture someplace, you know, in an unincorporated area to make it work. And that could be you, too. I'm just saying. Finance committee. I think, you know, that's obvious. And it's actually a lot of bookkeeping kind of stuff. CPA stuff.
Yeah, reviewing the financial transactions from the previous month, whether those are revenue transactions or expense transactions, and just making sure that we're following financial policy, recommending new financial policy where it's necessary, and weighing in on that. Financial committee is a pretty important committee, too.
Somebody somewhere is devoted to some really weird music program in the middle of the night, and they're thinking, I'm so straight, though. What could I possibly do? There's loads of ways for people who have these kinds of, I'm going to say it, they're kind of boring skills that if you are a CPA skilled person, you probably think that people think you're boring. You probably think that you're maybe a little bit uncool, and nothing could be further from the truth. And there's a reason I'm going through this list. There's the Program Advisory Committee. Let's talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. Program Advisory Committee weighs in on programming. They weigh in on new programming applications, and they weigh in on current programs. Our program director, Asia Hawthorne, is the lead of that committee. And then we've also got a couple of board members who are involved with it. And at least a couple. I know we're looking for more volunteers to join that group, but at least a couple of volunteers who are very involved with that committee. Diablo, one of our programmers, and Gary Dickerson, also another one of our programmers, super big helps on that committee.
So why did I just go through this list? Because if you're listening right now, and you maybe you want to get involved, but you don't feel like you're some kind of quirky artistic person who could blah 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 blah. These committees are all volunteer, actually, and there's people from the board that are on the committees. There's people from the staff, but this is a really crucial way that you could participate in this radio station. I think all of the committees are done on Zoom, maybe.
They are mostly hybrid, okay. Both in person and on Zoom. I think Program Advisory Committee is hybrid still, and I'm trying to think of if any other committees are still just hybrid or still just Zoom or still just virtual.
I don't think there are any that aren't hybrid.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. It's important to know also that that any listener. Any person who's listening right now can come and visit these meetings. You can come to these meetings. And even the board meeting, you know, we have a...
Of course, the board meeting. Please come to the board meeting.
Right. We have a spot that's specifically for public comment at the beginning of the board meeting, and we want to hear from people. You know, we want to hear from listeners. If you have concerns or comments, come and talk to us at the board meeting.
And, you know, kbu.fm/committees. As we go through this, I want to try to elucidate what is online only and what is a situation that you can come in real life. Because I know there's a mix of people who listen and there's some people who cannot get out to places out in the community. What were you going to say, Nathan?
Oh, I was just going to mention the Governance and Policy Committee is another one. And Zale Chadwick, a KBU employee, has been around KBU for a good number of years and super big help with that committee.
Let's talk about Zale for a second. Zale is one of the silent people that you may not even have any idea exists, and she is a backbone of this radio station, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, I know Zale's not silent.
Oh, okay, well, I mean for on the air. I mean for listening.
No.
Professional, organized, knowledgeable, has all the history, experiential knowledge. Yeah. It's always a beautiful day when you get to be in a room with Zale. Yeah. But so why am I bringing this up? You're listening right now. I think, have I already said, KBU is a do-it-yourself revolution. If you listen to this show, you've heard dozens of community activists and leaders talk about how you can make your big idea real, you know, if you want to organize something. But we're also all about how you can join with people to build something important. And this is one of the ways. These committees are crucial. The committees in some ways can be a stepping stone to the board. But maybe if you're a college student, a PhD student, a master's student, now I'm mixing my metaphors. I'm like, if you're a college student studying community leadership, because people at Portland State do that all the time, the Urban Center, you're studying nonprofit management, this is a perfect hands-on opportunity for you. Because we have all kinds of people that participate, but there's people who are scholars who come to some of these meetings and get involved in this radio station. And now this is a perfect place for you to get experiential knowledge. What were you going to say, Nate?
Yeah, one other committee I wanted to mention that's not, it's a little bit different by structure. It's our community advisory board. And we're always seeking...
Community advisory board gets food.
There is food, yeah. That's somebody who is interested in good governance or nonprofit governance, or, you know, is interested in or has experience with how nonprofits work or how radio works or media. You might not have the time, or you might not be interested in doing a program or being a regular volunteer of KBU, that sort of thing. The community advisory board is a place where we get folks who, have some level of connection to KBU, but aren't, they're giving us a bit of an outside perspective. And that's what we need sometimes to let us know, just to give us that outside perspective from the community about what we're doing and if we're keeping in line with our mission and if we're serving those groups in the community that are out there and need service.
Okay, and again, in a few minutes, our awesome friend Mike has to jet away. He's not getting in a jet because that would be rude, wouldn't it? He has to leave to go to another meeting because he's that kind of guy. He shows up. Show up, man. So I'm just calling that out because I see him checking his watch, and that's totally fine. That's totally fine. And we were just talking about the committees. If you go to kbu.fm/committee, you can see the minutes of a lot of those committee meetings, too. And you can read see the minutes of the board, too. I just want to...
That's correct. Yeah, we actually, we have to keep minutes. We have to have committees have to keep minutes. And this is all part of the requirements that we have because of the fact that we receive funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And we may be talking about that soon.
I know. Thank you. Hold that thought. This is Keeping It Real, and I'm Lisa Loving. We're broadcasting live today. Our guests are KBU Station Manager Nathan Vandiver, KBU Board President Mike Frost. The media world is shifting. KBU's doubling down on our role as an independent radio station. We're talking about what that means. Somebody was calling, and I don't have enough spoons to be able to answer the phone right now because I'm running the board. And if you want every show to take calls, you need to step up and be a board op. I'm just saying that. That was so rude. That was not a call to action also. But this issue of how... This is something I wanted to bring up, and Mike just brought it up. We just talked about the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I cannot leave it alone how the growing authoritarian government in this country is affecting institutions large and small. And I wanted to put it to you, Nathan, how are we being affected by the growing authoritarian government?
You know, well, we're a non-commercial educational licensee. That's our FCC license. We are a community radio station in that non-commercial band of stations. You know, we have certain requirements on the way that we produce or the way that we share audio over the FM airwaves. And, you know, some of that has to do with us, you know, we're not able to do commercials. You know, some of us wouldn't want to do straight up commercials, even if we could. But the, you know, we can't do commercials. So the new FCC administration put in place by the new federal administration is, you know, taking a much harsher stance on, or they're at least looking into what stations, non-commercial stations, are doing around underwriting, which is support from commercial sponsors, but is not promotional in nature. But they are taking a stronger look at how non-commercial educational licensees are airing underwriting messages. So there is that. And then we do expect the federal administration to seek something that's called rescission of the funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, essentially. So the way that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting was set up in the Public Broadcasting Act, I think of like 1972 or 1973, and it forward funds the Corporation for Public Broadcasting by two years ahead, a year at a time, I believe. And that's to help smooth out the curves of political changes. I think is the intention around that. But the Congress has approved funding for FY26 and FY27, but it's expected that the federal administration will ask Congress to, they'll make a rescission request to ask Congress to claw back that funding, which they've already approved. So we may be affected by that process if that request is made and if it's acted upon to claw that funding back.
We were just listening to Democracy Now! Before this show, where they were interviewing a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist from the Philippines who was talking about how Duterte took over their society and turned it into a little dictatorship there. And it did start with the media. And in this situation that we're in right now, you know, people forget that actually there was a case that started at KABU that wound up at the U.S. Supreme Court back in the 90s, and it had to do with a performance artist named Sarah Jones and a song that she recorded, and that song was played during Safe Harbor, which means late at night when there are different kinds of restrictions on what we can play, and somebody filed a complaint about the playing of that song. And we don't have to actually violate an FCC ruling to trigger a complaint, because people can make a complaint. But in that case, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and Sarah Jones won. And we were separated from that case before it got that far. But this stuff is really important. It's not a small thing. Were you going to say something, Mike?
I just wanted to say in more plain language that the reason that they're doing this is because they want to shut down voices that might criticize the administration.
No question about it. No question about it. It seems like this current... Oh, I have so many words that want to jump out of my mouth to describe Donald J. Trump, but I'm going to be very restrained. It seems like so much of what he and his junta are doing is about retaliation. And it's fascinating how, you know, democracy, to the degree that we've ever had it in this country, really does rely on basic human decency. And if that's out the window, a lot of other things are out the window, too.
If I could just say about the rescission request, you know, that CPB funding, what that means to KABU, that's about 10% of our budget each year. And that's about $100,000 a year. So that is funding that we use to maintain the ability to produce and share programming here from KABU and have this space for volunteers. You know, there are, you know, we can, you know, make some changes and, you know, try different things to work without that funding if that comes to pass. But it will be it will not be a insignificant change, you know, if that happens. And, you know, it's hard to know what, you know, how things will play out. But, you know. it is something to keep in mind and keep in the front of our minds as we think about public broadcasting in general.
And why would this be such a big deal for KBOO Community Radio? I said already, I've been here since 1990. What year is it now? Don't tell me what year it is now. And I think that KBOO is one of the reasons why George Bush named Portland Little Beirut. I think that historically, KBOO has been the main media center to find out about protest movements, radical movements, even conspiracy movements. You know, sometimes they really are out to get you. I just have to be real with that one. But, and I think that when we look at what KBOO could be doing in the future, what KBOO could be doing now, if you've been listening for a long time, you know that, you know, this radio station, it changes and shifts and evolves, and very occasionally it devolves just like everybody else. But it's really all about progressive communities, activist communities, grassroots communities, and that can be very dangerous. That can be a dangerous mission. I was at what's called the Grassroots Radio Conference last September, and this guy named David Serrata, who is he's a writer, he's a book writer, he's a columnist, and he's a progressive voice who is also a journalist. I think he's currently the editor of The Lever, L-E-V-E-R, incredible investigative reporting nonprofit organization. But he said to the GRC that he talked about how community reporters can cover issues with more freedom. Because we don't have that corporate sponsorship, you know, and he cited specifically the example of the genocide in Gaza. Like, people here have more opportunity to cover it and even more opportunity to argue about it, because we don't have to worry about making ExxonMobil Corporation mad at us. And that's a big deal. And even if we were to lose the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, 10%, you know, it will affect us. But it won't shut us down. And that's kind of an important thing. I do want to shift and ask Nathan about the 2025 inauguration statement and resources. And in a minute, Mike's got to go. Here goes Mike. Thanks for being with us, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's a little spicy over here. It's a little, you know, it's a little what it is, but wibbly wobbly. But thank you for being. Thanks. Thank you for being here. And thanks for what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
This is exactly the kind of person who should be a KBOO volunteer, if I could just say, someone who's got a lot going on, but he shows up and he cares and he puts his energy where it can fit. So, Nathan, what the heck is 2025 inauguration statement and resources? It's been pinned to the top of the website all year so far.
Yeah, I think a lot of us in the KBOO community and a lot of communities that KBOO seeks to uplift felt pretty rough about the election results. And there are things that the current administration has said that are just completely anti LGBTQ communities, work being done against diversity, equity, and inclusion, many things that KBOO stands for. And we're just searching for what we can do and, you know, how we can help folks, like us and who are concerned about these things move forward. And we just, we've got a list of programs that are being produced, weekly, monthly, currently here at KBOO, where you can connect with folks who are talking about the issues that are as they play out, even before, but now especially with a new federal administration. It's essentially a list, a repository of information about what you can find at KBOO and where you can go for help on different things. And we've also got a list of some external resources on that page as well, for immigrant communities, for just, all sorts of different communities that KBOO is focused on. So it's just kind of, it's an attempt to get the conversation started and just have a space where folks can, if they're wondering what they can do or where they can find information, these are some resources.
I want to read from this because, like I'm saying, I've been here for a few minutes and honestly, We've seen a lot happen here at KBOO. It's totally okay to cry. Do I always say that? I remember when 9/11 happened and people just spontaneously came to the station. People were lost. The people were confused, and we all needed to be together. And this situation we're in right now is like nothing I've ever seen in my lifetime. Okay. And I want to read from the statement: to everyone in our beloved community, in light of the inauguration, the slew of executive orders, and the rise of misinformation in the United States, we here at KBOO are committed to continuing our legacy as an alternative to mainstream media. We have a duty to serve our community by bringing you accurate information, by giving space to underrepresented voices, and by uplifting arts and culture. In these uncertain times, KBOO seeks to be a guiding light for those who are scared, those who are affected, and those who are fighting the good fight. KBOO stands with the immigrant communities, the LGBTQIA plus communities, the disability community, and all those affected by the new administration. And locally produced shows in English were all listed on there. And producido localmente en español, we have quite a few on there. Syndicated shows, and then the list of resources. I mean, even if you are not yourself an immigrant, that doesn't mean you can't educate yourself about the resources out here for our sisters, brothers, and non-binary family and neighbors who are being affected by this. I was just telling Nathan in the hallway that my housemates actually a couple weeks ago saw somebody dragged away by ICE in the street, and they can't sleep. They can't sleep, actually. So, and this is at, this is the place to find this, kboo.fm/inauguration25. Big shout out to whoever on the KBOO staff figured that out and wrote that, because that's incredible. And if you just tuned in, this is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. We're broadcasting live. Our guests, KBOO station manager Nathan Vandiver and KBOO board president Mike Frost. He just had to go to his next meeting. The media world is shifting, and KBOO is doubling down on our role as an independent radio station. And that role involves you. If you're listening right now, it doesn't matter if you're listening on your radio or listening in a podcast. It doesn't matter if you're in San Diego or if you're in the Ham, Gresh Ham. It doesn't matter where you are. You're part of, if you're listening right now, you're part of our community, and I'm just putting that on you, man. So, yeah, just saying. So, Nathan, what are the All Thrills, No Frills campaigns? Finally got to it.
Oh, yeah. The All Thrills, No Frills campaign, it's our winter drive, and this is a programming drive. It is a fun drive as well, but the focus here is programming with a softer fundraising ask. It just wrapped up on Earth Day, and but the heart of All Thrills, No Frills is it's a series of... It's showcasing the programming that we have, and that is done through specials that our program producers make to share with folks. We had the Earth Day specials. We had several Black History and Future Month specials. We had International Women's Day special, which is, I think it was more than 24 hours this year, but it's just all program produced by women and about women. Then we had the metal marathon, so that was metal. And,
oh, I had my hoodie. I forgot to wear it. The most beautiful hoodie in the world.
Yeah, and we had a stand-up comedy event.
It was live right here in the back room.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. The bluegrass marathon was Saturday, like 6 hours at least, or maybe it was the
bluegrass
whole day.
Bluegrass marathon is a thing, man.
And that was, live bluegrass all day in the studio. It was, pretty special. They do it every year. It's great. In a different nature, did a Pauline Oliveros special. There's a Mardi Gras special with the roots of rock and roll. A special called Back to the Egg, 1978 Randemic special episode. So it's all over the map, but it's the things that our programmers are passionate about and want to share with you, the listener.
So, and when Nathan says programmers, I'm a KBOO programmer. There are people who come to this radio station to do radio are all over the place, especially the bluegrass. Some of the bluegrass programmers, this is one of the most beloved shows. Actually, bluegrass and The Grateful Dead and Friends are the most beloved music zones on our airwaves. And some of the people that do those shows come from a long way to get into this radio station to do the show. Like, you don't have to live in the Portland area, not at all. And there's some people all the way down in the gorge. I remember my favorite host, and I don't need to name anyone, actually would drive all the way from Sisters, Oregon for his monthly show. So it's a thing. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to have a badge or something like that. How much does it cost to be a KBOO programmer, Nathan?
Your time.
Right? That's what we're talking about. So no thrills, no, all thrills, no frills. Maybe it's just the tongue tie in my face with that. But when we are fundraising and we're asking you to give money, and I will at the end of the show because I always do, right? It's because that's the money that pays to give these opportunities to all of us for free. We're pooling our resources to build something bigger than all of us, and that's what we're actually doing. And I want to put that out. If the best person to be a KBOO programmer, a KBOO volunteer, a member of the board or on these committees is somebody who wants to build something. And to me, that's the real standard. So, Nathan, we're almost starting to run out of show. What are some of the wonderful events coming up?
We've been, we've been doing the arts. There's a First Friday Arts Walk event in the Central East Side, and we started participating in that last year. And we've been going pretty much every month except for January. Yeah, we have a different theme each month, and we have live music. We have artists showing their art. We have some refreshments and just a lot of community. We have the last couple of art walks, we were able to broadcast the music live, so that was great to be able to add that component. But we have, musicians who sign up to do this each month, and volunteers who get together and help set everything up. It's really great. The theme for May, the next one is May 2nd, and it is called Camp KBOO. We're thinking about the summer, we're thinking about, getting outside and we're ready for that. Camp KBOO is May 2nd, and I was just trying to pull up my notes about it. It looks like artists that will be featured at Camp KBOO, Maggie McCloskey and Phoebe Unoma, musicians Paul Summers Jr., Human Voices, and Folk Slinger. And we also have vendors, Lucky Rabbit, PDX, Cherie Valenzuela, and I Made a Tomato, and Sam Pletcher will all be vendors here, sharing their wares with folks. So it's a great time, it's really nice to get in the studio. KBOO is a fun, eclectic space, in addition to a fun, eclectic audio experience. We're just trying to get the station open and get folks in here to just
participate.
Yeah,
because the world shifted after COVID. We can't go back to the way we were. What's happening with the current authoritarian government, we can't go back to the way we were, but we can build something new. We can build something big and beautiful, and that's what we're doing right now. And I wanted to follow up and say, what if there's somebody listening right now who's got a nonprofit or they got a small business or something like that, and they want to participate with us, like they want to partner? How do we partner with people?
Yeah, we have a whole package of partnership opportunities that we can share with you. You can email me, manager@kboo.org, or Kate Chase, our engagement coordinator, at engagement@kboo.org. Either one of us can get you sent in the right direction. Also, our membership director, Artie Wall, is working on these events and can help get you sent in the right direction. So email any of us, manager@kboo.org, engagement@kboo.org, or membership@kboo.org, and we can help you out.
I want to shout out Artie and Kate, because they are very new to the KBOO community, been here within the past, I want to say 3 years, the past couple of years, and they jumped in they just jumped in and started building things, like I said, and they're just coming up with creative stuff. Kate Chase runs the social media and a bunch of other things too. Engagement coordinator was a really smart choice for a staff person here. But the new things, like bringing, there's, our walls are actually filled with art because of the art walk, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Artie Wall made the wall art. I'm not saying that, but you could, you know, I'd forgive you if you thought that. But they're just out there. They're just throwing spaghetti at the wall. They're trying new things. And I love that about them. It fascinates me. What's the hardest part of what KBOO faces right now, Nathan?
Oh, gosh. Uncertainty is really difficult, I think. It's hard to know what exactly is going to happen, how we'll need to react and act. And, I think that's difficult. Our needs are great. I mean, we have like over 300 volunteers, producing programming and being involved with KBOO. And we have a broad tent, and there's a lot of interests. In order to support those interests, we've got to maintain this facility and maintain the production spaces that we have and the digital spaces that we have. And those are some things that we've had a significant period of transition at KBOO, and it's time to update many of those spaces. And doing that at the same time, where the ground under you is shifting, can be a bit daunting. But I think the thing that we have to remember is that KBOO is a big tent, and there are many hands to help, and there's many folks who rely on KBOO and who value it, and really, really care about it. So that's the thing of, I remind myself as I focus on the subject of your question.
KBOO is the grassrootiest, man. I mean, we are the closest to the ground. And so when everything falls apart at KBOO, it doesn't fall very far. And when we have to rebuild it, we don't have to rebuild it very far. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but it's not at all. Like, this is a do-it-yourself revolution, no question about it. And it's the best thing and the hardest thing. Actually,
yeah, I've got to give a shout out. We've spoken about a few of the specific staff, but just the staff in general are, right there with the volunteers. They're the heart and soul of KBOO. Every single one of them is 100%, in line with, what KBOO is doing. They believe the mission. They have the values. They love the programmers. They love the programs. They are programmers. Some of them were volunteers before they became staff. The lengths that they go to help KBOO do its thing, is just, it could only emanate from love. So got to shout out the staff.
And I have to also follow up on that and say there's been real heartbreak here over the things that we've had to let go of, the people who we had to let go of because we couldn't afford the staff, the staff cuts that hurt, that really hurts a lot. And at the same time, we just have to keep doing. We just have to keep moving forward. We just have to keep building. What's the most important thing that listeners right now need to know about KBOO Community Radio, Nathan Vandiver?
Oh, KBOO's your community. It is. It's here for you. It's produced by your neighbors. It's produced by you. It's produced by us. And KBOO is, it's our voice. And, come be a part of it.
All right. That's it for our show. This is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving, broadcasting live today. The guest today, KBOO station manager Nathan Vandiver and KBOO board president Mike Frost. The media world is shifting. KBOO's doubling down, and you can get involved with us. I like to say, and it's true, that involvement in the radio station is the antidote to despair. So KBOO.org. Special thanks to the entire KBOO staff. I need to have some music to play us out right now. Special thanks to the entire KBOO staff for making this all possible. KBOO Community Radio needs more volunteers, did we already say it, including on-air and broadcast board operations. Get involved by emailing volunteer@kboo.org. You can make a contribution to support programming like this at kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number, 44321. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. You know you rock.
Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO, Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Lie down all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in.